I'm telling you, I like that song, you know. We have a hope, and I'm telling you that God still loves us. I've been studying the Bible now for many years, and I tell you, studying the Bible, I have found in the Bible that Jesus tells me that he loves me. And that's the greatest knowledge that you could ever understand about God, is that he loves us. And the thing about it is, there's nothing that you could do to keep him from loving you. And there's nothing that you can do to cause him to love you anymore. Because he don't love us for what we are. He loves us for who he is. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me this morning. Regardless of what I've done, how I behaved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And that is a great blessing today, just to know that Jesus Christ loves you and always will love you. We thank you for the ones that's here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be dealing with three types of people. Always there's three types of people in the world, from Adam to the last person is born in this world. There'll always be three types of people. I hope today that before we leave here, we all be in one class of people. As these three classes of people we'll talk about in just a moment, but I hope we all move into the class that God would have us to move into. And that is a class of people that is called spiritual man, or a spiritual person, a saved, spirit-filled person today. But there's other type of classes of people. We'll go into them in just a moment. But I think probably one of the greatest needs among Christians today is to understand what these two verses of scriptures really means. That Jesus Christ came down to this dark, weary world. He left the lofty throne of heaven, and he was willing to come, and he knew what he's coming for. He was coming to die on a Calvary's cross. He was coming to suffer as no other man had ever suffered. He was the onlyest man that could lay down his life. He's the onlyest man, onlyest person that had a choice whether to die or not. You do not have a choice. I do not have a choice. Jesus Christ had a choice, and he chose to die, not just for me, not just for you, but for the whole world, and shed his blood. You today, if you're saved here today, you have been bought with a great price. And that price is the blood of God's only Son. He loved you enough, and he loved me enough to die for me. On the cross of Calvary, he shed a drop of blood just for me. And that blood was so powerful, it don't matter what you've ever done, what you're ever going to do, that shed blood was powerful to clean you from all sins and impart righteousness unto you. These two verses of scriptures tells us, if we really understand these two, if we really get a grip of what God has done for us, there'll only be one class of people in this church today. As we look at these verses of scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, is it deals with three classes of people, but also gives us a road map to move up into one class, and that is a class of a spiritual person today. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not of your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the testimony of your word. Father, how that you love us so much and the power of your word, the living word of God. Father, we thank you for this group of people here today. Lord, that they have decided today they would come and just worship you. Father, because you are honor of all of our worship, Father. And we want to thank you and praise you for what you're doing in the hearts of your people and the hearts of people around the world even this day. God, we thank you that we have this opportunity, Lord, to share the message, God, with other people, Father, this day. One, they may be a person here today has never accepted you. They may be a person, Lord, that's living below standards, oh God, of the Christian life, and they find the day that they need to move up into that spirit-filled life and be a spirit-filled Christian this day to understand what you have really done for us, and we're not our own. Father, how we thank you and praise you for the far sayings of this service, that we might give you honor and glory and praise for everything that's said and done this day, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. As I said, there are three types of people in this world. The Bible says they are a natural man. The natural man, a natural person, that is a lost person. In 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." A natural person, a natural man. Somebody is lost and cannot understand. There's people that drive by this church on Sunday morning, and they have their guns back of their seat and their four-wheelers. They're going hunting this morning, and they cannot understand why a group of people would come into a place like this little house called Pleasant Hill and worship a God. They don't understand why they have a draw and a connection. There are other people maybe sitting at home today and watching some television show are doing what they want to, and they just don't understand what you and I are doing here today. Why we would quit our activities and come and sit together and hear the Word of God preached. They do not understand that. Why? Because they are a natural person. They have no desires to be able to come to the house of God and hear the Word of God. It's called a natural person today. It's a natural, what God says in the Bible, the natural man today. It's an unsaved person. They are a person without Jesus Christ. They're a person without God. They're a person without life. They're a person without hope. They're a person without heaven. He's doing what comes naturally. That's what he does. That's what she does. A lost person just acts naturally. And that's the way people go to hell. Not for what they do or what they do not do. They just act naturally. A natural person, because I was born in this world as a natural sinner. And all you got to do is just act naturally and go to a place that's called hell. It's just naturally for a man or a woman to do this. It's a lost person. But then there is the spiritual person. Now, this spiritual person is a saved person. This spiritual person is someone that has been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Not only that, this person is filled and also controlled by the Spirit of God. That person that walks and lives and lives a supernatural life. You come in here this morning into this place, you come in because it's supernatural. The natural mind cannot understand why a group of cars is all around this church today as they drive by. They can't understand why in the world that you'd get up and come to this place called church today. Well, we're doing this because it's supernatural. It's not natural for a man to do this. It's supernatural that we're able to come and worship God. He do this because somebody owns us today. The ownership. We come to church, we tithe, we read, we visit, we know so when, and on, because we do the supernatural, because God gave us a supernatural spirit that lives within us. We are supernatural, divine guided, because we are a saved person today. But then the Bible says they're also a carnal person, a carnal man. Now, the Bible never speaks of a worldly Christian. We call a worldly Christian, it's a carnal Christian. It never speaks of a worldly Christian. It's a carnal Christian. Now, this carnal Christian is someone that's saved. They have been born again. They've been partakers of the divine nature of God. And when that person dies, that person is going to heaven. They have been saved, but they are a carnal Christian, a carnal Christian. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They're not led by the Spirit of God. They're not living a victorious life in the life they're living. They live in a miserable life, and they just still babies in Christ Jesus. They will not grow. They will not take God by His Word, and they have decided they will not grow. They're called carnal Christians. Israelites was the same way, that for 40 years they lived in the desert, walked around and around for 40 years, and God had already gave them that land, in Canaan land, but they was living below their standards. They was a carnal bunch of people. They would not cross over Jordan and claim what God has already gave them. And this is the same thing as a carnal Christian today. They won't cross over into the victorious Christian life, which God has already given all born again believers today. And I'm afraid the average Christian today, it may be a carnal Christian that needs to be a normal Christian. Normal, what we ought to be is an average Christian today, that we might be able to be a spiritual person for God. Now, as you look at this now, you'll find out that what comes naturally and what comes supernaturally, but a carnal person is somebody that does something unnatural. A lost person does things that's natural. A spirit-filled person does something that's supernatural, led by the Holy Spirit of God. But someone that's not filled with the Spirit of God, they're unnatural, the things they do. So it's unnatural for a Christian, a born-again believer, to do the things they do and not support the things they should support and live the way they live. It's unnatural for a Christian not to want to gather at God's house. It's unnatural for a Christian not want to read God's Word. It's unnatural for a Christian to not want to tithe. It's unnatural for a Christian that don't want to be with his brothers and sisters. It's unnatural for a Christian not to want the soul win. Everything I'm talking about, it's unnatural. So hey, many people live in this unnatural life. Unnatural today, the acts and how they behave is called a carnal Christian. Now, the cure for this today, the cure for carnality in these three classes of people, the cure for this today, well, to start with, you see, you have to be aware of the Savior's purchase of us. If you want to get out of this carnal Christian, if anybody's carnal in here this day, I don't know your minds, I don't know your heart, God does, but I'm sure there's a lot of Christians, not just maybe someone here today, and maybe someone's not here today. I don't know. I'm preaching to the world today, but I know one thing, you need to be aware of the Savior purchase for us. Now, when you do this, it'll straighten out a lot of your theology and find out what God's really done for us. That's through the Savior. That's through the Son. And then we need to be awakened to the Spirit presence in your life, and that's through the Holy Spirit of God. And then we need to be available for the Father's purpose in us and through us today. So it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. We understand these three things today that you will move out of your carnality. And I tell you, other people move out of the carnality, and they move into a Spirit-filled life today. I think one of the most things that we need in our Christian arena today is understand these three points in life, that you was bought with a price. And what this does, it carries us back to Calvary and see what God has done for us as we move out of this carnality into spiritual person today. We need to be aware of the Savior's purchase for us, that you was bought with a price. As I read those two verses of scriptures. What? You mean you act like you act and know what you know? Know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not of your own. You understand that you're not of your own. For we are bought with a price. I mean, we was enslaved, but God bought us back. Therefore, we need to glorify God in our bodies and in your spirit, which there are God's anyway. Today, this morning, here today, if you're saved, you do not belong to yourself. You don't do what you want to do. You don't go where you want to go. You don't act like you want to act. You do what God has told you to do. And you must do this if you want to be a spiritual person. You've been bought with a price. You no longer belong to yourself. You are a slave to Jesus Christ. Someone's going to be a slave to somebody, a slave to Satan, or either a slave to Jesus Christ. But you must be a slave to somebody. You can't say, I'm my own, because you are not. You've been purchased with a price, and that price from the slave market of sin. And now you need to consider this price. If you think you're your own today, for the carnal person today is a very, very selfish person. They've been bought with a price. Remember now, a carnal person the Bible speaks of is a saved person, a person that's going to heaven when they die. But I'm going to tell you, a carnal person is a very selfish person. I'm going to tell you, he or she lives as they want to, as they belong to their own self, a contradiction to the Word of God. And they're not belong to their self. They have no time for what Jesus Christ wants them to do and wants they should be doing today. Had a lot of time. You see this table before us. We have the Lord's Supper, we call it. Each quarter, we shouldn't even probably do it more than that. And on this table, it says, remember. It's the same thing that I'm talking about in these verses of scriptures. If you don't have anything to remember, you ought not to take of the Lord's Supper because you're not saved.
If you're saved, you ought to remember what Christ Jesus done for you. If you remember this, and this is a cure for carnality today, is to remember. Many people in these classes, remember now, the natural man, the lost person, or they're the carnal person. Now, the cure now is for us to look at Calvary. How in the world would a person, as a carnal person as they, to move out of being a carnal person into what we would call a spiritual person in the Word of God? Well, it all takes place as we look at Calvary, the price that's been paid for you, the reason that you're here today, because you understand there has been a price paid for you. You know, God has said, you know what, you should come to the house of God. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as some does, as we see that day approaching. You should come. That is a command of God to you. As you feel that command of God, you come to the house of God, because you see, then you become a spiritual person. You're obeying the Word of God. The cure for this is for us to look at Calvary and just see what was paid at Calvary. As we look at Calvary, and you know, we begin to talk about it, and as we see Calvary today, I'm going to try to explain it in just a few minutes that I have this morning. Only maybe about 30 minutes is all I've had. Thank you, Lord, for these 30 minutes, but I want to try to just give you just a view of Calvary, and for people to understand the price that Jesus Christ had paid for them. We right now should be taking off our shoes because we're on holy ground. I hope that you see Jesus Christ this morning. I hope you don't see me. It's not my message. It's a message from Jesus Christ. I hope you understand the price that's been paid for you as you view Mount Calvary and what Christ Jesus done for you. And they're going to try to describe this as we take off our shoes because we're on holy ground. The suffering in Gethsemane, it all started whenever Jesus Christ laid down his carpenter blanket and tools and began to take on the ministry that he was called on this earth to do. And you know, a short time after that, he began to go to what they call the Garden of Gethsemane. When he prayed, and you know, he is going to the cross. It was getting close time for him to suffer, as no man has ever suffered. He was going to that cross, but he went to that garden to pray, as he prayed many times. Jesus prayed in agony, and it said his sweat becoming as great drops of blood. He prayed in so much agony. Oh, he said, God, if you just let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. He knows, he said, I pray. And not only that, he was praying for himself, but he was praying for you and I also. Now, the disciples that come with him, he said, you stay here. I'm going to go a little further into the garden, and I want you to watch and pray with me. But his disciples, they could not watch and pray. They closed their eyes into sleep as Jesus Christ prayed for that cup to pass for him. The Father might have another way for it to be done. There was nobody there but Jesus Christ. He would not close his eyes, but he began to pray in the agony and pain, as it said, his sweat became as great blobs of blood. And he come back out of that garden and saw his disciples, and they was asleep there. But Jesus Christ knew it. They was asleep. The city slept at that time, but Jesus Christ would not sleep until he closed his eyes in death for you and I today. Oh, Father, he says, if you don't stop this, Father, if you don't stop this, he says, I'm going to die before my time. He says, my God, he says, why have thou forsaken me? He says, Lord, he says, you know what? My soul is exceedingly sorrow, even unto death. The suffering of Calvary, you know what? He suffered physically, and he suffered, you know, emotionally. He started off there after he left the garden, and his own disciples wouldn't even stay with him and pray. You know, after a while, they caught him and, you know, and carried him, or didn't call him. They come up and arrested him. You know, the Jewish leaders did, and they carried him to that old mock trial. You know what Jesus Christ said he had done? Everything was a lie. And he said, you know what? He spoke not a word. He did not try to defend himself. He knew what he come to do. He cannot defend himself. If he had proved himself innocent, you and I would have been guilty. He could not prove himself innocent as he proved you and I guilty, and yet he would not. He was thinking about you and I this day as he was sitting there on that mock trial. Jesus Christ, you know, he took my guilt and he took my shame. You see, Jesus Christ knew that I would need a Savior. I tell you that day he lost the election on a poor criminal. And you know that election for old Barabbas, give us Barabbas. It's not changed a whole lot today in society that you and I live in today. A lot of time Christian people, as they're running in the political arena today, a lot of people vote of a criminal. When someone is for abortion and for homosexuality, they'll vote for that person ahead of a Christian a lot of times today. But Jesus Christ lost his election to a man that was a murderer and a thief, as old Barabbas. They say, crucify Jesus Christ. And then, you know what? They stripped Jesus Christ of his outer clothes. They stripped him, and then they began to beat him with those cat of nine tails. I know that I'm kind of hurting, but a lot of us have saw that picture, you know, Passion of Christ, where they just beat him and they beat him and they beat him and they beat him until, you see, they could not even recognize who the man was. And then on that old bloody body of Jesus Christ, they put on a purple robe and then they spit in his face. And then, you know what, they just pulled his beard. He was so marred that he could not be recognized. If he was your son and he was beat so much that you would not even recognize your own son, they'd done that to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It says that you was bought with a price, that you are not of your own. And they crowned him with the thorns. Can you imagine? They mashed the crown of thorns down upon his head, and more blood began to rush down his cheeks, in his face, maybe through his eyes, that crown of thorns. You are bought with a price. You're not of your own. And then you see they carried him up Mount Calvary's hill, or he began to walk up Mount Calvary hill, you know, with that old rough timber upon his shoulder, dragging that old cross up Calvary's hill. And then you see when he got to Calvary's hill, they laid him down and they began to drive those big spikes in his hand, his quivering hand and his quivering feet, as they drove those spikes in his hand and in his feet. And then they lifted him up on the top, and he says, boom, and he fell into that ground with that cross pulling on his hands and pulling upon his feet. Yes, Jesus Christ died for you. Yes, you've been bought with a price, and you're not of your own. Jesus Christ paid the price for each and every one of us. There's a song a lot of time that we sing in our old song books, and it says, Precious Redeemer, or Blessed Redeemer, Precious Redeemer. Seem now I can see him on Calvary's hill, wounded and bleeding for sinners, pleading and blinded, unheeding, dying for me. I can almost see it on Calvary's hill. I wish we could see that today. They wouldn't be a person in this pew this day, would be a carnal Christian today if you could see this. But the problem with people today, they're not looking at the cross of Calvary. They don't see what Jesus Christ done for them. I'll do what I want to do. I have no desire to follow Jesus Christ. Are you a carnal Christian today? Are you a spiritual Christian today? Are you just a natural person today? It's lost without Jesus Christ. I tell you, it all ends at the cross. It all starts at the cross. Do you know what Jesus Christ paid for you today? I'm going to tell you what, he suffered spiritually also. Heaven was darkened at that time. Jesus Christ was between heaven and hell, and God the Father forsook God the Son. Oh, he said, you know what? He said, somebody help me. My God, why have thou forsaken me? He took my place in hell. I'm going to tell you what, he was separated from God that I will never have to be worried about being separated from God. My God, why have thou forsaken me? David, oh great King David, he knew what it was to walk the lonesome valley. In fact, he wrote that 23rd song. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, the Son of God, left glory of heaven and come down, could not even say that. He couldn't say that. He could not say that because he had to walk that lonesome valley alone. He walked alone where you and I would never be alone. I've talked with people that said, I don't want to be alone when I die. I want somebody to be here. I want my family to hold me. I want my family to hold my hand. I don't want to be at the hospital when I die. I want my family all around me. I don't want to cross over Jordan alone. I want somebody with me. Jesus Christ had to walk that valley where you and I will never have to walk that valley. There'll always be somebody with us. You might not be your family that's with you when you begin to die, but I can tell you one thing. As David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because I know that God is with me. When your family cannot be with you, I can assure you one thing, that Jesus Christ said, I'll be with you, because on that cross of Calvary, he suffered that loneliness that you and I would never have to suffer. He suffered that separation that you and I would never have to suffer. Buddy, I tell you, when you get a look at the cross of Calvary, I don't believe that you can be a carnal Christian anymore. The problem is today that people are not seeing Jesus on the cross of Calvary. They're not seeing Jesus. We're seeing a whole lot of other things, but we're not seeing Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Oh, it says today, Father, it's not my will, but yours be done. Have that 1 Corinthians again, 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? I tell you, any saved person, any carnal person, you know, can understand that Jesus Christ on the cross will be a cure for carnality. It may be the cure for the coldness of their heart. It'll be the cure whenever God's people starts meeting in God's house. I'm going to tell you, they'd be here. They're either lost or either they a carnal person today. But that would all change if they could just look at this today. To start with, you need to be aware of the Savior purchase of us. But then the second thing, you know, the cure of carnality is being awakened to the Spirit presence in you. What God has done in you this day, it's the cure. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You know, I'm not myself. I have been inhabited by the divine nature of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a minister that ministers to God's people this day. And we need to be awakened to the very presence that Jesus Christ is in you. Saved, made partakers of the divine nature, because Jesus Christ is the substance of all believers this day, every one of us. He convicts us, John 16:8-9 says, and when he has come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of the righteousness of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. When come, he's going to convict this world. Without conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll never see your needs for a Savior. You would never have been saved if it hadn't been for those verses of Scriptures right there in the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit has got to show you that you need a Savior. You was never aware that Jesus Christ needed to save you until, first of all, God began to work on you. The Holy Spirit of God, the first thing that the Holy Spirit of God, he convicts us of our sins and lets us know that we're just pure old sinners that it just needs to be saved. Have you come to that conclusion in your life that you were just a poor old sinner? The Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, is the finger of God on your heart and conscience that tells you that you need a Savior. There's no other way. He's made you, and each and I, us today, he's made us to know that we need a Savior. And without serving Jesus, without loving Jesus, without being saved, we'll never be satisfied in these bodies, in this world that you and I are living in. God made us that way. There's no other way to be happy except in Christ Jesus today. But not only do we find out that number one, he convicts us, but number two, he draws us. He draws us in John chapter 6 and verse 44. No man cometh to the Father except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that latter days. No person comes to God the Father. You see, a lot of people believe in God the Father. As I said many times, all the world religion believes that there's an eternal God up there somewhere. All the religion, there's a God somewhere or another. All the Hindu believe there's a God up there. The Muslim believes there's a God up there. Allah, all the religions of the world, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all the false cults of this world, false religions of this world believe there's a God up there. But what this verse of Scripture says here now, it says, now he draws us. No man cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him and will raise me up in that last days. You cannot know that there's a God of creation. You cannot know this God that I'm talking about. You cannot know this God except through Jesus Christ. And that's the reason that all these religions of the world will not accept Jesus Christ. They want to try to go right straight to God and do everything they can to go to God, but they'll never make it to God except through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God draws you, and without the drawing of the Holy Spirit, there will be no salvation. Without the drawing of the Holy Spirit, you will still be in your sins. Without the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you what, you would be still acting like a natural man, doing what comes natural, because you would be a natural-born lost person on your way to hell without the drawing of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit draws us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned him. As we see this now, you have understood one thing, that Jesus Christ talking to you this hour, and to understand that he's going to teach you. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God opens up your heart. I can give you the truth of the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit must impart the truth to your heart this day. No man, no preacher, no matter who they are, cannot not impute the truth to you. All I can do is tell you the truth, but the Holy Spirit of God has got to open your heart for your understanding that you need a Savior this day. It's the Holy Spirit working on you right now. It is not my words, is what Jesus Christ says today. He's working on everybody in this building today. He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking today. He knows if you're carnal. He knows if you're lost. He knows if you're spiritual. He knows there's some things in your life that's not right. He's working on you. The power of the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, draws you. But not only that, it seals us after we have said, Lord, I believe. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted that, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, sealed in the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, I got something better than Adam in the Garden of Eden had. Adam had something he could lose. He was an innocent man. But I'm going to tell you, I have something better, and you have something better, because I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ by my faith in him, not what I deserve, not how I worked it out, but he imputed his righteousness to me. And what I have in Christ Jesus, oh, Adam could never have. Adam lost his innocency. He was a man that God made, but he lost his innocency. I want to tell you what you have in Christ Jesus this hour. If you save, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you cannot lose that righteousness in Jesus Christ. It was a gift to you through salvation that Jesus Christ is the righteous Son of God, and you cannot lose that today, because it said that you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, that the same righteous person that the Holy Spirit put a seal on you in that very day that God says no more on earth, that you will wing your way back to heaven, because the Holy Spirit came down to this earth and he entered into you. I'm going to tell you, whenever you were saved, the Holy Spirit of promise, it sealed you to that day of redemption that God says it'll be no more, and you will be raptured up, or you'll be taken out of them graves and have that glorified body this day. You're sealed. I'm telling you, you're sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise, and you're sealed in Jesus Christ. You're sealed in the body of Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about falling out of the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ suffered one time for sin. If you could fall out of the body of Jesus Christ, if you could fall out of the seal, Jesus Christ would have to come back and be crucified all over again for you to be back in that body. But you can never lose that sealing. You're always there. Not only that, you are indwelled by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians, again, verse 6, 19 and 20. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? No, you're not. I'm going to tell you, whenever you get saved, a lot of people, and including myself, but when I got saved, I got that burden lifted off of my shoulder at Calvary. I'm going to tell you what a great burden of sin that I had. I got rolled off of my shoulder at Calvary. And buddy, I said, boy, this thing is easy. Man, everything was going good. I'm going to tell you, I was a saved person. And I know that I was a saved person. And I could smile everywhere I went, because I defeated old Satan with my faith in Jesus Christ. And man, I was ready to go to church and come to church every time the doors were open, because what a Christian ought to do. But not long after I got saved, I said, well, this thing not easy as I thought it was. This thing is kind of hard. In fact, that's never begin working on me as he's never worked on me before. I said, this thing is hard. But you see, I kept on with it. And before long, you know what I said? This thing here is impossible. This is impossible. And then, as I kept on, I found out that nobody could live the Christian life. That nobody could live the Christian life. And God didn't expect nobody to live the Christian life. And Jesus Christ got in me and lived in me because I couldn't live it. Then I said, it's glorious! It was easy, it was hard, it was impossible. And I'm going to tell you now, I say it's glorious, because Jesus don't expect me to live it. He expects to live it through me and through you. When can we learn that God don't want us to do nothing for him? Oh, I want to do everything. God, let me do this. God, I want to do that. God, I want to do this. God don't want me to do nothing for him. He'd like to do something through me. He'd like to do something through you. But you can't do nothing for him. If you did, it would be a mistake. He wants to do something through you. But then he comforts us. John 14, 16, and 17, many, many times. And I pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that you may abide with you forever. He abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither know him, because ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Man, this comfort. Many times I've been at hospital, and I know that you have too, and I seem like there'll be no way, you know, to comfort somebody. Sometime I'd be at a graveside in a situation with no human understanding. And then you can see maybe sometimes the Spirit of the Lord just come in and comfort a person that nobody else can. To comfort you. And I know that a lot of you have been through this, that comfort. He's here to comfort us. But not only that, he's here also to guide us. John 16, 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, you shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He guides us in all these truths. You see, all you got to do is open the Bible. He'll guide you. Oh, the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you. I'm telling you, He just guides us on and on. You know, we're not like, we're not like a ship on the ocean without no sail, or a ship on the ocean without no compass, or a ship on the ocean without no rudder. I'm going to tell you, the dark, stormy days ahead of us out there on that sea of life. No, I'm going to tell you, we have a guidance on the sea of life. And that guidance and directs us is the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of promise. And He empowers us. Acts chapter 1 and 8 tells us, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to othermost parts of the world." Thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit of power to energize us. You see, we need to be aware of the Savior's purchase of us. We need to be awakened to the Spirit presence in us. But the third thing, you know, we need to be available for the Father's purpose through us. The reason that we hear this hour, that would cure the carnality in our life and the cold hearts. Glorify God in your bodies, in you, the spirit which God has given you. You know what God's purpose for you today? Why are you here today? Why, whenever God letting you breathe His air today, you understand that? Why? Do you understand why that you're living today? Why you're not already in the grave? That God owe you something? Why don't you already been put in the grave? Didn't God buy you with His precious blood of His Son and filled you up with the Holy Spirit of God and give you all these guidance? Did He do all this for you to serve? Listen, for that carnal person that's saved, God done all this for that person to have their own carnal ability to do what they want to do, not on a minute. A carnal person seeks his own selfish will. Spiritual person seeks the glory of God. And the only way that you can be a spirit person, I tell you, is do what God would have us to do. We say, "God, now I want you to fill me. I want to be a spirit-filled person." I be does. All right, God, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. Holy Spirit, I want to be a person. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a preacher like Billy Graham, that everybody just come and like to hear me instead of leave the door and don't come back. I want to be somebody that everybody wants to hear. I want to be a great preacher for you, God. And the Holy Spirit tells me I'm not interested not one bit in you being a great preacher. Well, God, I never thought about that, but God, I want to be a gifted person. Then I want to be a gifted person like Mother Teresa, that you know, that she served humanity. I want to be a gifted person that I might serve humanity and all these programs we have. I want to be like old Franklin Graham and all these shoeboxes. I want to be a person that help humanity. And the Holy Spirit of God says, I'm not interested. Well, Lord, I want to be somebody that understands the Word of God, to be a great teacher that people come from all over the world and hear. God, I want the understanding of the Word of God that I might be able to read the Word of God and be a great teacher. The Holy Spirit says, I'm not interested. Well, Lord, I want to be a great soul winner for you. I want to go up and knock on people's doors, and before I get through, they'll be saved. The Holy Spirit says, I'm not interested. Lord, I want to sing some songs I've never been able to sing, but Lord, I just wish you'd give me a spirit that I'd sing. You wouldn't have to beg me. I'd sing praises to you, God. I want to sing, God. The Holy Spirit says, I'm not interested in you. I want to be a prayer warrior for you, God, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm not interested in you. And I come to the point when I say, God, I want to glorify you in my life or in my death. It don't matter what it is. If I could glorify you, even in my deathbed, that's what I want to do. And the Holy Spirit said, well, that's the same thing I want. Me and you's going to get together. When you decide, no matter what gift or what you want to do, when you decide the greatest thing is to glorify God, He says, well, then I'll make you a preacher. Then I'll make you somebody that can sing. I'll make you a gifted person. I'll make you a soul winner. When you decide that whatever God gives you, that you want it to glorify God and not your own self, God will give that to you. He says, I'm interested, let's get together. And that's when the Holy Spirit gets together with you, you become a spiritual person. Remember, what know you not, that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and it's not of your own. For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit which is of God. You just can remember this
if you want to move, and if a carnal person wants to move out of that, if a lost person wants to move into and to be able to save you, just remember to be aware of what the Savior done and purchased for you on Calvary's cross. And be awakened to the Spirit of God that is present in you this hour. And be available for the Father's purpose He has in you. God's got a purpose for you. And what is that purpose for every child of God that's sitting here today? And that purpose He has today, let me tell you what His purpose is for you. And that is to glorify the Father. That is your purpose here on this planet Earth, is to worship and glorify your Father. And all these other things the Holy Spirit will get with you on. As we come with a song of invitation, I don't know who God's taught with or how they've taught with them in this hour. But I tell you what, are you a lost person? Are you what we want to call a natural person? Are you a carnal person? Are you a spiritual person? God made it where you can, all of us can move up as a spiritual person this day. I don't know what you are. I can't read your mind. I can't read your heart, but God can. And that's all important that He does. He reads your heart. Whatever God has spoken to you on this hour, you know, I hope that you will do. And all this comes by understanding what God paid for you on Calvary's cross. As we stand and sing.